women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good evening. I'm Mashi Lipska. This is Chai FM. And I'm with you for the next hour. And what a special week this really is. Why do I say so? The truth is that every moment, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year is special. It's special because it's being continually and presently being created by Hashem and given to us as a gift. As the saying goes, right now is the present. Right now, there is so much we can accomplish if we're alive. Everything is possible. And yet different times, in addition to being the present, have incredible, unique offerings, gifts that they can give us. When Hashem created the world, He created it with love. Olam chesed yibaneh. The world was built with love. The world is and will continue to be built with love. And when we look at the parsha, the opening of the parsha talks to us about gentleness, about softness, about the right way to communicate, to educate. Hashem is always educating us. The question is, are we listening? Are we opening our eyes? And there's always a gentleness. The truth is, sometimes the gentleness, often the gentleness is covered. But inside, there's a burning love. Hashem loves us. And the month He's given us now, Iyar, is called the month of healing, because the word Iyar stands for the words, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am God, your healer. There's no better healer than God Himself. We have to kind of open our eyes and open our mouths and see the medicine and take it. But the truth is that when we are proactive, being tuned into Hashem's love, His passionate love for us, then we respond with love. And please God, we don't suffer that blindness, that deafness, that wandering and wondering that often comes in a time of challenge. This is an amazing week. It's in the month of Iyar. We're going to read the Parsha of Emor, which has so many beautiful things to tell us. And we are in the week of Netzach, the fourth week of the counting of the Omer, which means that there's an energy in the air of fortitude, endurance, ambition. Wow. It's an incredible gift of a time. The truth is, we can always access these gifts, but during this time, they are readily available, more readily available. What is this determination and tenacity, which in Hebrew we call netzach or nitzachon? I'm in for the long haul. I am determined. I will endure. It's a balance of patience, persistence, determination, guts. And when you speak about endurance, it means we are reliable. We are accountable. And when someone is reliable and accountable, It provides security. It speaks of commitment. Because no matter what we want to do, unless there's going to be a follow-through, it's short-lived. And we want to speak here about the opening words of the parsha, which is education, chinuch. And if we are to apply our endurance, our fortitude to chinuch, educating our biological children, our students, our spiritual children, we have to have a healthy goal. We have to have a productive goal. And once we have that, we are ready to be in for the long haul, to fight for what we believe in, because we can see the goal and we will go all the way. We are committed. We are alive. We are passionate. And that energy, which stops at nothing, which is determined to achieve its goal, when it is tempered with loving kindness, with compassion, with humility, with bonding, connection, wow, it can achieve the most incredible things. And it is this kind of commitment that Hashem has to us. The world has been going for 5,786 and a half years, and he's still creating it every second, every moment. We woke up this morning, which means Rabba Emunatecha. His faith in us is great, that we will achieve, that we will respond to his love. The parsha this week actually contains the mitzvah to count the Omer. And the mitzvah to count the Omer, the word for counting is usfartem, sfira. It's akin to Evan Sapir, a sapphire stone, something of shine, magnificence, something that has been polished to absolute perfection. And that's what we are trying to do, each one of us, in our relationship to Hashem, which of course is also expressed in our relationship to one another and to all of creation. We are trying to improve. Usfartem, and you shall polish every day a bit better, every day a bit shinier. But the parsha begins telling us something very beautiful. Hashem speaks to Moshe to speak to Aharon. And the word for speaking can be daber, which is a firm or hard speech, very straightforward, accurate, deliver the message. But then he says, emor, speak, ve'amarta, and you shall speak, gentle speech, gentle speech. So we have dibor, very direct, but then there's a speech which works, is so saturated and so communicating, love. And soft speech is to tailor the message to the person you're speaking to make sure that it will be received, it won't be opposed, the person will be open to it, as well as the words will be clearly understood. And Hashem is saying to Moshe, tell Aharon, emor v'amarta. Tell him to educate the children. It does talk about Kohanim, but it applies to all of us because we are all Kohanim. We are Mamleches Koyanim V'Goy Kodosh. We're a kingdom of priests. We're a holy nation. And Aharon is the person of love, of chesed. He was Oyhev Shalom. He loved peace. He was Rodef Shalom. He pursued peace. He was Ohev et Abriot. He loved all creatures. Umakarvan, and he brought them close. La Torah, to Hashem's Torah, to guidance, to truth. And we, these Kohanim, who are charged in this world to bring creation close to Hashem, to be a light, to be a teacher, to be a leader, we must educate our biological children, our spiritual children, and we must speak softly. When we educate, whether it's a person who's young in years or not initiated, not exposed to God's Torah, and we want to be effective, we have to relate fully to our students. We have to tailor our style of teaching to making sure that they will hear it, that it's couched in words of love and understanding, and we're teaching the person, not the subject. The style of delivery. If you're teaching in nursery school, you're not going to be able to give a lecture. There have to be pictures and colors and songs and actions. There has to be emor v'amarta. We want to get the message through, but in a gentle way. Whenever we see someone who needs to be inspired or corrected, we have to remember that Hashem has brought that person to us. Divine Providence, Hashgacha Pratit, has cast us into the role of educator. In the shop, in the street, when we're driving, certainly at home, certainly on our block, certainly at school. And whenever we are cast into the role of educator, we must immediately remember Hashem's instruction. Use gentle speech. Use soft speech. And Rashi says, what is this gentleness? What is this responsibility to teach? Lehazhir gdolim alaktanim, which means, in the simple sense, to warn the elders about the children, which basically means we, the elders, and the elders means parents. It means teenagers when it refers to them being a role model to younger children. We are all educators. We are all, if you're gadol, if you're a little bit bigger, older than someone else, you have a responsibility to protect, lahazhir, to warn, to ensure. Warn the elders about the little ones. In our world today, we need to know. We carry huge responsibility. We can't say, what can I do? The world has gone to the dogs. What can I do? Nobody's going to listen to me. Children are busy with influencers. Children are busy with their phones, their friends, and all kinds of other things that waste their time. Will they ever listen to me? They certainly, certainly will. How do I know? Because if Hashem makes you aware of a problem, He's already put into you the ability to express some guidance. He's put the answer inside of you. You may not feel like doing it. It probably is not going to be easy. But it's set out in the Parsha, Emor v'amarta, softly. And it is the responsibilities that rest on us at all times as elders. Even if you're 8 years old and there's a little kid who's 6 years old and they're crying, it's not too big for you to go over and ask what's wrong. The truth is that this word lahazhir The Hasidic interpretation is the word Laz here is from the word Zohar, light, to shine. Really? Like Sapir, the sapphire, to polish, to shine? Absolutely. When we carry out our responsibility to be leaders, to reach out to the smaller ones, whether they be small in age or small in knowledge or small in emotional security, at that moment, we begin to shine. And the more we teach, the more our minds need to break it down, the more we need to think and prepare and be able to communicate God's Torah, God's teachings, God's mitzvahs. We can't just do it because I light Shabbos candles. Let me tell you, light Shabbos candles. Every person needs a tailor-made approach. And that tailor-made approach has to include, I don't want to just say I did it because out of rote, I know I have to do it, so I'll just say light Shabbos candles. No, every person has a different way of seeing or hearing things. And I need to find the right words. I need to find the right story. I need to find the right moment. Lahazhir gdolim alaktanim. We may be grown up, but that does not mean that we have no responsibilities to those who are younger than us. We are here to make a difference. Chinuch. And because God created the world with love and for a purpose, we repeat this all the time. We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that word one has a numerical value of 13. And 13, well, the word Ahava, love, also adds up to 13. So we are actually proclaiming, hear, O Israel, hear it, internalize it, understand it. Transcendent God is our God. That great God, he's right here, and he is love, Hashem Echad. And we go on to say, V'ahavta, and you shall love the Lord your God. That's the way we model it for our children. But there's a deeper meaning. Not just should you love the Lord your God and do all that you can to access that love, but when you do your best, and of course, the Tanya that we're studying these days from chapter 41 through to chapter 50, talk about different ways, different meditations to make you get in touch with Hashem's presence and Hashem's love. And in chapter 46, there's this incredible, incredible description of how we can access the love. Hashem is love. And he's telling us, Vishinantam levanecha. Teach it diligently to your children. Because your children are God's children. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem. He loves you. You are children to the Lord your God. Can you imagine when I love someone? Yeah, it's a very nice thing, but I'm just a person and I'm limited because I'm selfish. That's how God made me. How far can my love go and reach? I have a limited love, but God's love for us is unlimited. He's our Father, we're His children. Banimatem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You are children. Kindalach to Hashem. And the child remains the child. The man can be 92 years old, but he's a child. We're all children inside. We carry a child inside. And for Hashem, he is a loving father. That inner child, he loves us. Kinar Yisrael Bo'av Tiva. I love him, says God. He to me is like a young child, like a young lad. And therefore, he has given us the Torah and the mitzvahs, because when we live them, study them, teach them correctly, all of this love, this innate love that we have within us, the love that's in our DNA, actually comes to the fore. When we do our best with our minds and our hearts, our speech and our action to love him, by doing the mitzvahs, we begin to awaken the inner love. By keeping the mitzvahs, teaching, doing the Torah, studying the Torah, amazing things happen in us. We change, we sensitize, and there's a deeper love, and he allows it to come out. V'ahavta, and you shall love. It's not just you shall, but you will love. It's a command, and it's also a promise. And we're counting the Omer now, and it's not just a week of endurance, but we naturally have love inside of us and discipline, compassion and endurance. We naturally have humility, naturally have loyalty, bonding, and all of these funnel into being a leader, sovereignty, being able to speak words of leadership, words of love. God gave them to us. We have these midos, these emotional attributes inside of us. The intellectual attributes have to be worked on, and they then influence and guide the emotional attributes. We need to develop them, to deepen them, to grow them. How? By consciously using them, by taking that stretch, bringing others close, caring about the children that God cares about. Now, tomorrow night, there's a special festival. You've probably heard about it. Tomorrow night makes exactly a month after Pesach, Erev Pesach. The word Pesach is an interesting word because it means to skip over. And it speaks about God's miraculous love for us in Egypt. You know, that wonderful miracle that he did for us. He's so praiseworthy. He did so many miracles. He passed over the Jewish homes. He brought the plagues only upon the evil Egyptians. And what do we do on Pesach? Well, Pesach is actually the offering. It's called the Korban Pesach, and it's offered the day before Pesach. And the word korban, which we literally translate as offering, is actually from the word karov, to come close. So it was in the desert. There was a group of Jews who, in the second year of traveling in the desert, were unfit or unable to bring the paschal sacrifice in the right time. And they wanted to be close. They wanted to bring this korban, this karov, to come close. But they couldn't. Why? Because they were occupied with something else. They were transporting the caskets of Joseph and the brothers. So they were in contact with the opposite of life. And that made them unfit, impure from bringing a korban. But they so wanted this closeness to Hashem. And they came to Moshe and they said, Lama nigora, why should we be left out? Why should we be excluded? They were impure, but they were sincere, and they demanded, we know we're not necessarily on the level, but why? And they asked this the month before, when everyone was bringing this Korban Pesach, this paschal offering. And they said, we want to have this closeness. An extraordinary thing happened. This mitzvah is different. It was only given after a group of Jews, impure ones at that, sincerely demanded, why should we be excluded? The lesson for us is, and the previous Rebbe emphasized, it is never too late, no matter how far or impure or just lazy or just not interested we might have been at the time when the Paschal sacrifice was being offered by everyone. If we sincerely want to change, Hashem's going to pave a way for us. And it's not just us, but we need to remember that we are the example. We are the Gdolim, we are the older ones. And we need to use every opportunity to teach. And the best opportunities are the ones that Hashem brings to us that we didn't even think of. The best opportunities are when we ourselves live the kindness, the goodness, the desire for spirituality and godliness. This is the way to educate. Of course, there has to be a determination, an endurance, a devotion, a dedication. We must know also it's never too late. And each time, of course, we're approaching it with love, these students of ours, these biological children of ours, these spiritual children. But is there a measure to love? There isn't. Love can always grow as we mature. Love can be greater, bigger, more correctly applied. And we're living in a world of kindness. Olam chesed yibaneh. And every person is an olam. Every person is kind. Every person is a full world. We want to make education attractive, to be an example by our shining. We need to shine. Shine in Torah, shine in mitzvahs. And Torah and mitzvahs covers everything. It's the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we speak, the way we think. It's a life. It saturates us from head to toe, from youth to old age. In every cycle of life, in every arena, in every way, whatever God brings us, we must shine by our example, the gentle education. And in chapter 46 now of Tanya, he's saying the most incredible thing. He's talking about how when you look into the mirror, you will see your face back. It's not just your physical appearance, but your mood. You will see where your head is at, where your heart is at. If I'm feeling loving, it will reflect in the mirror. If I'm feeling upset, it'll be there. Because the face you show the mirror shows you back. King Solomon in Mishlei says, Kamayim haponim laponim, ken lev ha'adom la'adom. Just as when you look into a pool of water, the face you show the water will reflect back, so does one heart of a person reflect back to the other. So let's look at it. If a person loves another person, he loves him so much, and when he sees him, the face he shows him is a face of love and just delight. What will it do to the other? The other one has to respond. It must arouse love in the other. Hashem loves us so much. Constantly, when we look at the davening, the prayers, we can begin to see it. Look at the Shema. And he's always trying to educate us so that we can grow to feel that love and to feel who we are and to understand how much we can blossom and grow. You know, in the Torah, Pesach is called Chag HaMatzot, the festival of matzahs. And yet, we call it Pesach. And the holy Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev said these two names reflect two different ways to look at Pesach. And of course, as mentioned, tomorrow night will be Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach. We have another Pesach. It's never too late. Here's a chance to get closer to Hashem. And Hashem, by calling it the Festival of Matzahs, wants to stress the greatness of the Jewish people. So he focuses on the matzah. What's the matzah? It reminds us of how the Jews left Egypt so quickly, they didn't have time to allow their dough to rise. What does that mean? It means they had so much faith in Hashem, and they were willing to follow him out into this wilderness, or wherever he would ask them to go or show them to go. Wow. So Hashem says, matzahs, you guys are so wonderful. Look what you do. You trust me. Look what you did. Look what you have inside of you, behind you, in you, ahead of you. You trust me. Wow, that's love. On the other hand, why do we call it Pesach? We call it Pesach because we want to praise Hashem, want to thank him, because he did those great miracles like skipping over the houses of the Egyptians and not allowing the plagues to be sent on any Jew. And so we say thank you, Hashem, every time we say Pesach. And now is a second Pesach. And we are thanking Hashem again and remembering how, even if it looks impossible, he'll make it happen. And on this day, we eat matzah. We thank Hashem by calling it Pesach Sheni. And he says, eat your matzah. And the truth is, we have to look to all our worldly accomplishments and relate to it in these 2 days. We shouldn't just think, I'm so talented, I got such a good head, I'm such a good teacher, such a good dancer, singer, artist, and we focus on our own exceptional abilities, which, wow, because of that, I'm such a success. We must focus on how Hashem's hand always miraculously assists us. And we should leave it to Hashem. He'll praise us. He'll focus on our merits. We need to focus on his love, his greatness, his miracles. We got to do our part. We mustn't waste our time talking about things that we have no control over. We must be the best teachers that we can be. Hashem, with his love, took us out of Egypt. Like a great, great king, as the Tanya describes, who comes to a man who is so lowly and dirty, like he's thrown out in the garbage. He's cast out, as the Tanya says, on a dunghill. And the king comes with his whole entourage. And he comes to this person and he personally picks him up. And he takes him with him back to his palace and back into the palace doors. He takes him through the gates, through the doors, from one room to another, till he takes him into an inner chamber that no servant has ever been in. And there he speaks to him lovingly. He himself cleans him and dresses him and speaks to him and hugs him and kisses him. Wow. How much will this lowly man's heart become aflame with love for this king? And this is Hashem in us. He did it to us in Egypt. He came down into the most decadent place in the world, Egypt, and he plucked us out, and he spiritually, physically took us and provided for all our needs, food and water, and cleaned us and made our clothing grow with us, and took us all the way to Sinai, where he took us into his personal chamber and revealed to us secrets that nobody else knows. Wow. And what does he ask us to do? He's asking us, Vishinantam Levanecha, please teach these teachings diligently to your children. Pass it on. This is from one generation to another. You are, as my mother-in-law, Alea Shalom, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, would say, each one of us is a link in the golden chain. And the responsibility is on us to keep that chain strong. After so many years, more than 3,300 years since the Torah was given, we are still here, and we are still keeping the Torah, and we have to make sure the next generation does it as well. We have to do it with all our charisma, with all our charm, with all our efforts, with all our loving kindness, with all our restraint, with all our compassion, with all our endurance. You know what I'm saying. And we need to be the best that we can. We have to shine. Lahaz here. To shine like the Zohar, like the light. And there's a lovely story. A couple of beautiful stories. Stories about being a teacher. So, beautiful story where there was a yeshiva bacher, a rabbinical student, who met with the Rebbe on a private audience. Okay? And they had a beautiful Talmudic discussion. The bright young man was really excelling and shining. And then the Rebbe said, I can see you've studied well, but I also want you to remember the words of our sages. Ve'heve mekabel et kol ha'adam besimcha, or besever panim yafot. Receive every person with a smile, with a cheerful countenance. This boy had been immersed in his books. This boy had been exercising his brain. It's a big mitzvah to study the Torah. But the Rebbe then said, more than anything else, it'll be your warmth and your care that will impact the people you meet. People don't really care how much you know. People care how much you care. And when we realize how much Hashem cares, to the point where he keeps bringing us to places where we can do things that will make us grow and bring us so much happiness. We always say, when you give, you receive much more. And happiness is the only thing that the more you give it away, the more you have it. We are in this world to give. We are Kohanim. We need to pursue peace, love people, and bring them closer to Torah. It's an incredible thing. The Rebbe also spoke to a man who was starting his career in education. And this young man visited the Rebbe and asked him for a bracha. And the Rebbe said to him, I understand that you've chosen to become an educator. That's correct, the man said. And the Rebbe offered, let me share with you what it means to be an educator. It isn't merely to teach information, but to provide your students with faith and a moral compass for life. Let's say that again. It's not merely to teach information, but to provide your students with faith. Wow. How do you impart faith? And a moral compass for life? How? So the Rebbe said, but how does one transmit this to one's students? And the Rebbe said, it must come from you. You must take your own Yirat Shamayim, your awe of heaven, and share it with your students. If you will be a model of passion and purity at all times, that's what they will observe, and that's what they will absorb. Wow. Our children, our students are watching us. Of course we transmit information, but it's always, they won't do as you say, they'll do as you do. The Rebbe concluded, remember, like a well which needs constant replenishing so it doesn't run dry. You need to constantly work on yourself and refill your own reservoir of faith, because your children will become what you are. You know that old saying? Your children will become what you are. So be what you want them to be. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Lahazhir gedolim alaktanim. We need to polish ourselves constantly. And these are the weeks of polishing of Sphira. Lahazhir, to shine. Are we shining? Are we modeling the way we want our students to be? And you know what? Let's remember another beautiful thing that the Rebbe said. He defined life, a Jewish definition of life. There were these college professors and university students at a gathering, at a Fabrengen of the Rebbe. And at the Fabrengen, he said, the Hebrew word for life is chayim. But chayim is plural. It means lives rather than life in the singular. And what does it teach us? This comes to teach us an important truth. We are not truly alive until we think and care about others. We desperately need to understand that it's reciprocal. We benefit others, we benefit ourselves. You know, when you throw out the boomerang, it comes back to you. Every mitzvah we do is like a seed planted. Everything we do comes back to us. We're not looking for it, and we don't know when it will come and how it will come. But there's no doubt. We have an expression that says, Derebishter bleibt nicht kim bal chev. Hashem never remains owing. And he pays us back, not just if I lent you a dollar, you'll give me back a dollar, but it is with so much interest in all the things that really matter to us, in matters of health, in matters of nachas and achievement, and in matters of prosperity. We have to put our heads down and work. We have to do it. As Hillel says, Im ein ani li mi li, if I'm only for myself, what am I? And Hillel says, Vim lo achshav ematai, do it now. This is the moment that's really, really important. It's so important that we understand that the Parsha of the week speaks to us, that the Parsha of the week instructs us. The Parsha is speaking about gentleness, speaking about being a teacher. It's speaking about praising God. It's speaking about counting the time, counting the days, refining the minutes, the hours, the days, about embracing opportunities, chinuch. It's speaking about Pesach. And to us, we're hearing it speak about Pesach Sheni. It's not easy to be a teacher. It's not always popular. It's not something that you do somewhere hidden in your room on a mountaintop in a cave. You're there with people. If you're a teacher, there are colleagues, there are parents. There's the school board, there are the principals and the head teachers, etc., etc., etc. And then there are the students. And you're always kind of being looked at. And that should tell us, give us an example of what it's like in the world. Hashem is watching all the time. And every time we do something, it adds something good, it adds to our merits. Yes, there are angels and there are previous actions that we've done, mitzvahs and sometimes the opposite, that, God forbid, can work against us. But Pesach Sheni comes to say it's never too late. Own up. Say, God, I want to come close to you. I want to do it your way. I don't want to do it my way, because I want to do it the way that will endure. And when we approach it like that, we become humble, which is next week. We become open. And the other next week translation, it's not just humility, but it's absolute splendor. Week 5 that we're approaching, that we'll start counting tomorrow night, is a whole other perspective. If we had the netzach, the endurance, the kindness, and the discipline and the compassion in endurance, and finally bonding in endurance, and nobility, sovereignty, and endurance, we can move then into the humility and the splendor. We can move then, understanding that humility is not weakness. It's not a lack of self-esteem. It's modesty. That means we recognize that God has put us into this position. Let's end with some stories about being a teacher. Here's the one about a parent who had a real problem, and he confided in the Rebbe that he loses his temper, and to his eternal regret, I even hit my children at times. What can I do to stop this terrible behavior? And the Rebbe's answer speaks to us so clearly. Contemplate this fact, the Rebbe said. As much as they are your children, they are God's children too. You wouldn't hit someone else's child, and surely not a child of God. Keep this in mind. Your hand will tremble before striking your child, the Rebbe told him gently. We need to understand that every person we meet is God's child. How do you teach God's child? With humility, with trembling, and with great, great privilege. That he has given us these opportunities, we just need to actually sharpen our perspective. Who is this person? Why did he come into my space? And you see God in the space now as he's standing there bringing you to this person or this person to you, remembering your own children are not just your children, your own students are not just your children, etc., etc. And even older people, they are God's children. We're moving around in God's palace, in God's orchard, although there's still a few weeds here and there. And we need to understand the privilege of being alive and the privilege of being able to teach. And we'll end with this. There was a school teacher who came to the Rebbe and he told him, I'm fed up with my career. I'm looking for a new career. I just can't do this anymore. He was fed up with teaching. And he complained, teachers are not appreciated. There's just not enough appreciation given to teachers. And the Rebbe said, there are those who feel that teaching little children is an undignified position. I, on the other hand, consider teacher to be the highest title of honor. And then he said something from the Rambam. He said, you know, Maimonides writes, the Rambam writes, that in the holy temple in the Beis HaMikdash, only Israel's greatest Rashei Yeshivot, heads of the yeshivas, members of the high court, and the elders would dance and rejoice in the Beit HaMikdash on the festival of Sukkot. The others, both men and women, would watch. They would behold the celebration. The teachers would dance. As a teacher, you are the modern-day Rosh Yeshiva, the teacher that the Rambam, that Maimonides is referring to. Wow. When the man heard this, and he heard the Rebbe's deep esteem for teachers, he obviously decided to continue teaching. It's an incredible thing. Teachers need encouragement. They're the ones who take your child's hand, open his mind, and touch his heart. And when we think of it, what a privilege it really is. And so tomorrow night is what we call It's Never Too Late. Never too late to improve your parenting, your teaching, your love of Hashem's children, your awareness that you are in this world for a purpose and that you can make all the difference to all of creation. As the Rambam says, always view the world as if it's in perfect balance. View your own world as if it's in perfect balance. And one good deed can tip the scales for all of mankind, for your family, for your relationships. One stretch, one something which doesn't come so easily can actually make you shine so brightly that you become the catalyst, you become the difference. Have a good evening, have a good week, have a good Shabbos.